Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome one, welcome all to this awesome mini episode. With me, I've got Carrington.
Hey, hey, hey.
And I am Kyle. So, we're just hanging around, having a couple drinks. I've got myself a nice little IPA over here. Carrington, what do you got over there?
I've got me some nice sake. Nice. To get in touch with my Japanese roots.
I was gonna say channeling that inner Japanese inside of you there.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it is delicious.
We didn't really have a whole lot formally going into this, we didn't really have a whole lot to discuss on this mini episode, but we still wanted to talk and just kind of update everyone as to what's going on.
For sure.
And without really going into it, because I know that you're wanting to do this on a full episode, Carrington, mm-hmm. You and Cody just recently went to Comic-Con.
Yes.
Or the Cincinnati Comic Expo. And just briefly, without going into detail, how much fun would you say that you had?
On a scale of 1 to 10, it started at about a 4, and then it jumped to an 11, which I'll go into details later.
Okay, very cool.
It was a lot of fun. I will definitely do it again. I'm looking to see what other cons close to the area we can get into. But Cincinnati Comic Expo 2017 was a huge hit for Realty's podcast, in my opinion. It was a lot of fun, and it was my first time at a con at, this size. Mm-hmm. Because Power Up Con was my first gaming convention, period. But Cincinnati Comic Con was probably 10 times bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And so it was overwhelming, but in a good way.
Very cool. Yeah, I saw some of the updates that you guys posted on Instagram and Facebook, and it looked like you and Cody were both having a lot of fun there. While you were there, you actually got in contact with a local... help me out here.
Comic book. Comic creator there that was at the Comic Con. Surprising. What? Mm-hmm. But his name is JB. He created this comic book called Messed, and it's really cool. Don't ask me what it's about just yet, because I have not actually started reading it yet. But it's but from what I've gathered, it's about this girl who is a tour guide for some sewers, and she just basically goes around fighting monsters and stuff. It seems really cool and interesting. It's here locally in Cincinnati, which is funny. So I'm going to do a quick story about how I even met them, even though, I'm not really talking about the con right now.
Right.
But this is a buildup, so it all ties in together. So Cody and I were actually leaving on Sunday. So the last day, we were actually on our way out. We decided we were going to go, and go somewhere else, because the con was pretty much wrapping up anyway. It ended at 5 that day. We decided to head out around 4:30-ish. And as we're leaving, I just hear this guy saying, hey, you like comic books? How's your day? How's it going? I was just like, yeah, what's up, man? And then, we were just doing that walking and talking kind of thing, real slowly, And he's like, we're a comic book, here locally in Cincinnati. And then that immediately perked me up.
Yeah.
And, I was like, okay, cool. Well, what's it about? And he told me what it was about. He was there, the creator, the artist was there, and the model was there that the main character was based off of. She was there also.
Oh, cool.
Did they cosplay it? Yeah, she was cosplaying. It was cool. Really awesome. And my initial thought was man, they really went all out. That's what really piqued my interest.
Yeah.
And then I immediately thought about JR from Power Up Con, because he gave us that advice. If you don't bark, you don't get to eat. And that's what these guys were doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And He's telling me, you know, hey, for $10 you get, you know, this, this, and this. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'll pay for it. No problem. And then I gave him our business card and, you know, they did all this stuff for us, which was really cool. I don't know if it was included in the $10 or not, or if it was because he realized we were part of the press, you know, there for the podcast. But he was really nice. He was really cool with JVB. He was really awesome. And he said, don't worry, I'll contact you. I said, okay. And so I come home and I'm going through all the stuff that he gave me. And I noticed there was like a little pamphlet in there. It was an invite to a launch party for basically season two, the next set of chapters for the comic. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so we were invited to the launch event in very November. Cool. So I'm very excited to go.
Yeah, that'll be that'll be really cool. You know, I thought it was kind of funny just because the fact, we tried to stick more to indie games, but when you really look at it, you know, comics and games, they kind of go hand in hand with each other.
Oh, for sure. I don't think you can have one without the other at this point.
Right. And so, you know, they're a local comic, over there in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they're kind of like an indie comic, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's just so cool about, Cincinnati Comic Convention. Like, it was just, you know, a lot of people there that had the same interest and that were trying to do the same thing that we were doing when we were at Power Up Con. But it was just such a much bigger stage, which I thought was awesome. And, you know, I'm all for supporting people and, you know, trying to, because I understand, you know, because we're in the same position.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, if you're out there listening, look up MESSED. It's, you know, MESSED. It's a comic book here in Cincinnati. So far, I have all five chapters, which is essentially season one. So I will definitely be reading it this weekend because I am home alone, actually, which is not normal for me.
Nice. Yeah. Good to know.
Indeed.
So, yeah, I really look forward to hearing more about your guys' experience on the next episode. It looked like a lot of fun, and hopefully maybe we can get back in contact with JB and the rest of the team, maybe even get them on the show or just chat with them about the whole comic book process.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I actually have started talking to him back and forth a little bit here, so we're working something out right now, actually.
Very cool. On the news side of things, Steam remove 200 games?
Yeah. So I know I just kind of like threw this at you.
Yeah.
So this is very, very recent. So Steam, or Valve rather, is looking into getting rid of like the like bottom of the barrel kind of games that are just basically cash-ins to try and make some money that are just really crap games and just filling up the Steam store.
Yeah, like so, PUBG.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, no big deal, you know. Yeah. And Fortnite, you know, you know, you get rid of those games. but seriously though, you know those games that you see out there that are just quick cash ins or grab ins to try to make a quick buck kind of thing. So Valve is trying to crack down hard on those type of games. And I guess one developer has released several hundred games.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. And they're in that like 200 group that just got removed from Steam to try and clean up the store a little bit and to try and make the Steam store what it was, you know, because back in the day, Steam was for basically AAA developers and indie games would come on there every once in a while. But now it's just filled with so much and it's ridiculous now.
Yeah. When you sent me that message about Steam removing 200 games, I'm not a PC player, and I have a Steam account, but I've only been on it maybe once or twice, so it kind of shocked me. But then I didn't realize, you know, there are so many titles and games, on the store in Steam.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's so many. There's so many, and it's really overcrowded, and it's unfortunate to see the state that's Steam is in my opinion, because I remember loving Steam and looking forward to all the different sales that were going on, because every time there's a sale, I'd go right and jump in and probably get, you know, 10-15 games easy. But now it's just kind of like the deals aren't there anymore like they used to be. And you see all these games, all these indie games, which isn't like we're an indie game podcast. So I love to see indie games on the Steam store. But you can just look at a game and be like, well, they didn't really put any effort into it. This is just a cash grab. And it's annoying to see.
Yeah. Back up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You said 10, 15 games at a time.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Very easily.
How many games do you have in your library?
Last time I checked, it was around 425.
425 games?
Yes.
All right. So about out of 425 games, about how many of them have you played?
Around probably 100.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, so, before I met you guys, I was a real heavy PC player.
Okay. I was going to say, so if you were stranded on an island by yourself mm-hmm. and you only could have one thing with you.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it'd be multiple things, but
yeah, to PC get a computer working.
Be, yeah. Because then you would never be bored.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would take a long time to get through 425 games.
Dude, I'm still not through them. And the thing is that people think that PC gaming is more expensive when, you know, I wrote an article probably about a year ago for us where if you build a medium, essentially a medium type computer, it's still the same as a console. But the games are so much cheaper, and people do not realize that. And I think that's something that people need to look at. I pre-ordered Destiny 2 on PC, $40. You know, I paid full price on Xbox One.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. And I remember getting the Batman Arkham Trilogy for $20. Oh, that's trilogy a steal. For 20. Exactly.
That included, it was Origins or Knight?
It was Knight. So okay. Origins was not included in
that
bundle.
Good. That was kind of the lower tiered game out of the Batman Arkham series.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's just stuff like that happens all the time on PC. Sales like that happens, or bundles like that happen, and so you end up spending a lot less in the long run for a game on the PC, especially when you get those kinds of deals.
Very
so
cool.
So that's another reason why I have 400 and you know some odd games.
Yeah, that's that's impressive. That is probably the biggest game collection that I've heard of.
And I think on Xbox, which we share, or we have our linked accounts or whatever, it's still, you know,
I think we have like 150 between both of us.
I think so, yeah. And that still is nothing compared to my Steam library right now.
Yeah. So, yeah. Digital but is the way to go.
I will say though, if I could choose like one game or one franchise, I don't know if I can still pick. That's hard. Even out of the 100 or so I've played.
One game or one franchise like to play for the rest of your life?
Yeah, if I was stuck on an island.
Okay, let's hear it.
I would probably pick Alan Wake.
Alan Wake is good.
Yeah, and it's really good on PC too. It's very well optimized because that is an indie game studio, if I remember right.
See, the problem though with those games is that you could probably sit down and beat them in a weekend.
Yeah, I could see that. And then, you know, I got the DLC for it as well, which is also fantastic. And another reason why I love PC games, because you get DLC super cheap.
Okay. My line of thought was going towards like The Sims.
Yeah. I've never been a Sims guy for some reason.
Okay. I just was trying to think, well, what could consume the most time? Well, Sims, I mean, technically there isn't really an end game to it, is there?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. See, I have always played The Sims on like the handhelds, so like the Game Boy Advance version, and those had like storylines and things like that. I don't know if the PC versions have storylines because I've literally never played them.
That's probably why. Yeah, that makes sense then. So, but speaking of, well, I guess it's not really a sim. I picked up a game today, and I'm not going to go into too much detail about it just because. I feel like you guys are probably going to talk about it here in the next week or two.
Oh, yeah. We've already decided it is going to be reviewed on the more bigger, fuller episode. So, yeah. But it'd be nice to get your perspective at the moment on said game.
I started seeing tweets about Golf Story yesterday, so I was like, oh, it's got to be available. So I checked the eShop, and it wasn't available. So first thing when I woke up this morning, I checked the eShop, wasn't available. And because I'm new to the Switch and the whole eShop platform, I didn't know when they updated. So I waited till 12 Eastern time, and it was there. Picked it up. I probably put it in about 3 hours today. And I gotta say, I am in love with Golf Story.
That is so funny to say, because it's not really a golf game.
Yeah.
It's more of an really RPG.
Isn't. Yeah. And
even though it has golf stuff in it, it's so, oh gosh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop talking and just let you talk.
Yeah.
It's great.
It really is. It's what it is. It's an RPG. You play golf in it, and, excuse me. Play golf in it, but there's side missions. I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail about it, but I'm loving it. I love that there's frisbee golf in it too.
That surprised me, because as soon as I saw the thing when I was walking around the first golf course or the town or whatever, and I saw the frisbee golf hole, I'm like, what? There's frisbee golf? Yeah. And I was flipping out.
Yeah. I don't think that they accurately depict the frisbee golfers or disc golfers, excuse me, properly. I think they're kind of stereotyping them a little bit, but you know,
a little bit, but it's still fun.
Yeah. But yeah, it is. I love the retro aspect of it. It really reminds me of like Earthbound and Stardew Valley, which unfortunately I have never played. Just watched.
What?
Yeah, I know. Just I'm waiting for it to come out on Switch. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I'm waiting for. And I'm looking forward to playing two-player on it, probably with Jen sometime. Play her in a round of nine holes in a game of golf.
And that would be fun. Yeah.
So, like, thinking about that, it made me think about this week I feel like it is the week of 2017 of retro games and indie games, because we got two solid indie games coming out this week, the 28th, which is Golf Story, and the 29th, which is Cuphead, which I am looking forward to.
I mean, we're recording right now. It's 11:55 p.m. It's only 5 minutes away.
Yeah, which means if it's out by midnight, then I'll probably pick it up and start playing it. I don't know what time the Microsoft Store updates.
I think that one does update at midnight.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure.
We might have to end this early.
I know.
And then also on the 29th, the SNES Classic releases.
Oh gosh, that's also in 4 minutes.
Yep, I'm not picking one up. I don't really have a huge interest in it. I do think they have a really good lineup, and I've got some, like, a friend sitting in line right now to pick one up at our local Walmart.
Very nice.
But I think out of all the games that are on there, the two that really, one that really stood out to me was Star Fox 2.
Yes, obviously. Sir. I was about to say that. To me, that's worth it alone.
Yeah. And then also, I'd like to replay through Super Mario RPG. I haven't played that in a long time.
I was about to say, I've never played that. No, yep. I thought you were going to say I've never played that, and I was about to scrutinize you for it.
No, but I love it. Okay. It's such a good game.
Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah. Same here.
So, like, with all that, you know, coming out so late in the year, it made me think about, like, are we going to see an uprise of retro-esque games?
I think so.
That I might make a comeback, because I feel like, you know, it's a lot for two games, especially two games that are, I guarantee, are going to get highly praised. I haven't seen any reviews yet for Golf Story, but I feel like it is going to be a game that gets high reviews from critics.
I agree.
Cuphead, I feel like, is going to be the same. So is this going to push
the industry
the industry to you know, start developing these more retro-esque games. What do you think? Do you think it's something that we might possibly see, like, a heavier push on?
I think so. And here's my reasoning why. Nostalgia sells very well. And I think games like these, they're original. Cuphead and Golf Story, they're original, but they're paying homage to the past in such big ways. And I think it will draw people, people our age more so, and older, because they're not remakes by any means. They're not remakes, which I think is nice. And at the same time, I can play a game that looks like something I would have played when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old or whatever. And it's done very well. It's not just a quick cash grab kind of thing, right, which I think is really nice. Because I've played Golf Story as well. And I remember seeing it during one of the Nintendo Directs. And that's what really hooked me on it, was the fact that, look, it's golf. And it's an RPG? What? And that's really, it's a big twist on the whole, you know, like that whole... what is it, like 8-bit, 16-bit scene kind of thing. And I think it works out very well for it, and it plays to its own strong points very well.
And
I think that more indie developers may try something similar out, because we're a part of a bunch of like Facebook groups that are for indie game developers and indie games in general. And it's, right now we're not seeing this at all right now, but I think after, I think give it about 3-4 months, we're gonna start seeing a lot more games like this.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like easier to create. I would think it'd be easier than, you know, go start diving into 3D pixels and everything. What I was thinking though is they made a game about golfing, and no offense to the golfers in general, I don't have an interest in golf, or golfing video games, but they made a game about golfing fun, and it's not, you know, it's not like hardcore about golfing, because you do run side missions and stuff, but I'm interested to see if Sidebar Games, the people that created this, what they have in store next. I mean, if you can make a golfing game into an RPG, what else could you make into an RPG? Could you do like a chef story RPG, or
curling,
curling RPG, or mailman RPG? I mean, I feel like with what they did and what they created, the possibilities are endless to create other games that are kind of similar to this, but that, you know, are different stories or follow different people with different lives or different jobs or different, you know, hobbies.
I totally agree. And so far, like, you're further than me so far in Golf Story, but even then I find the story itself fantastic. I can't wait to see where it goes. And if they can make something, like you were saying, if they can make something like golf, you know, fun and funny, what else can they do? You know, what's next for them? Where do they go from here? And I'm excited to see where they go. You know, Sidebar, if you're listening for whatever reason, just don't be afraid to hit us up and see what your next project is, because we're instant fans. As soon as I started it up, I thought it was awesome.
That definitely, you know, piqued my interest with classic gaming, and if we'll end up seeing an uprise of new retro style games. And besides, you know, Golf Story and Cuphead, these games that, you know, have this retro style to them, Carrington, you played a game that was kind of retro inspired as well recently?
Oh yeah, for sure. So we've been in contact with a PR agency of sorts. They're a PR agency just for indie games in general. So we initially contacted them about an indie game called Hi-Risers, which is still being developed. But then they suggested and gave us the demo for a different game in the meantime to basically hold us over. So the demo is called Griff the Winged Lion from Breaker Box Studios. They do not make Hi-Risers, which we initially were contacting for. Different company, different game. I just want to put that out there, so there's no confusion. So the game itself is called Griff the Winged Lion by BreakerBox Studios. It's basically a PlayStation 1 / N64 inspired type platformer. So like Spyro or something like that, or Crash, you know, those games that we played, you know, when we were
growing up.
Yeah. Like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old kind of thing. They gave us a demo. Now, this demo is very much an early version, so it just gives you a nice feel of the game itself and the gameplay. So there's no context as far as story is really concerned in the demo, which was, you know, it's a demo, so I didn't really care. I've had a lot of fun with it so far. I can't wait to see more of it. It definitely has me intrigued. It was a little buggy, but then again, it's also a demo, so right. It gets kind of a pass because it is on my PC, and I had trouble going to full screen for some reason. So every time I tried going full screen and going to windowed mode, even though I had windowed mode turned off. So but that was the only problem I really faced.
Okay.
But it does really remind me of those style of games like Crash and Spyro and Rocket Robot on Wheels, which was also ton of fun. But it reminds me a lot of those games that we played back then, and like I said, I can't wait to see where it goes. But if you are interested in checking it out, they do have a Kickstarter campaign going on right now, so if you want to support it and check it out, look up Griff the Winged Lion. They're about, last time I checked, they are roughly, I'd say 30%. Yeah, of their goal. So they're sitting at around $8,000 out of $25,000. So yeah. They have a little ways to go, but, you know, cheering them on. Hope it gets kickstarted. Hope it comes out, because I definitely want to see more of it. Yeah. It was very well optimized for a demo also, in a way that when it did run and stuff, when I was actually playing the game, it was running at a beautiful 60 frames per second.
Really?
And so yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So playing it, did it feel like playing, you know, Spyro or Crash Bandicoot?
Yeah, it did. It surprised me in a couple different ways too. Because as soon as I started it up, I was like, I don't know about this. But then I started playing it. I'm like, okay, I can see what they were going with it.
Yeah.
And I could see it was also voice acted, which I was surprised about, especially for a demo.
Yeah.
But I thought that was also kind of cool.
That is, yeah. That's pretty cool.
But yeah.
Did they do anything anything different?
Different? That I could really tell. But then again, like I said, it is a demo. So I do want to see where they can take it and where it can go from here. So if you're listening out there, don't be afraid to look them up on Kickstarter. And their website is BreakerBoxStudios.com. And you can find more information that way.
Very cool. Awesome. Yeah, it sounds cool. Hope they get to meet their goal, and we get to see this game come to completion.
Yeah, me too. It's just one of those things that it really piqued my interest once I started playing it for more than 1 second, you know, from more than one look. But it's just one of those things that it's just, like I said, like we've been talking about today, nostalgia is really big right now, and if it's original, even better.
Yeah.
Because remakes to me are kind of lazy. But I'm still a sucker for it. But when it's original, it really, to me, it tells you that, you know, actual, like, more work than just trying to remake a game went into it. It's, you know, yeah.
Very cool. So yeah, I think that's all that we had for this mini.
Yeah.
I do look forward to hearing what you guys have to say about Golf Story, and then, Cuphead, you know, once that releases, which I think it's probably out right now.
It's probably out right now, yeah.
And
I got paid right now, so guess what I'm going to do right as soon as we stop the hit and record. Yeah. Yep.
Carrington, it's a pleasure speaking with you. Pleasure
as
having
always.
A drink with you as well.
Indeed. Enjoy your break from our full episodes. Can't wait to have you back on whenever that is. But enjoy working and spending time with the family and all that stuff. Tell them I said hey and... you know, wish you well, of course, on your new job.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. This is Kyle. Got Carrington here. Yes, if you guys want to follow us, make sure you check us out on Twitter at RealDudes underscore pod. You can check us out on Instagram, RealDudesPod podcast. Facebook, RealDudes Podcast. You can email us any questions that you have. Feel free to send us your questions. We'll answer them on the episode, which is realdudespod@gmail.com. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. I feel like I always mess that up. You can listen to our most recent episodes or go back in history and check out our cringeworthy first few episodes.
Oh, yeah, I was just talking about that today, actually, too.
Yeah.
I can only listen for 5 minutes. Then yeah, I'm done.
Yep. That would be on iTunes, Podbean. Is it
Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find a podcast, we are there.
Yep. Hopefully on Spotify soon as well.
Yep. I got the ball rolling on that, so we'll see.
And I think that's it. Do you have anything else you want to throw in there before we close this out?
Nope. Just stay tuned. We got a guest host coming on the show next week. I've got two interviews lined up already, and we'll see where that party takes us in about a month or so.
Awesome.
Yep.
Very cool, man. Everyone, have a rad day, and yeah, that's it.
Bye.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Can I take these off? All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.